peace be with you. Friends, there's just something bracing about our readings for this weekend. They read a bit like the words of a good, tough coach or a demanding teacher. Someone who's willing just to lay it out without frills and without apologies. When I was in eighth grade, so when I was about 13 years old, I had an excellent basketball coach who was really good at teaching the fundamentals of the game. I can picture him very vividly now. He was a tough, no-nonsense guy who had a crew cut and a whistle and straight at it. Over and over again, under his direction, we practiced, you know, faking, dribbling, executing a layup. He put a chair in front of us. We had to kind of fake one direction, dribble the other direction, and then in right form, make the layup. We practiced for hours and hours the correct form of the jump shot over and over again. We did all sorts of drills that got us into the right defensive posture. He was, like most teachers of the fundamentals, convinced that good defense is the key to basketball. I still think that's right. He was also very reluctant to hand out compliments. Tough guy, demanding. And the one thing he hated above all was flashy play. Showing off, showboating. Hated that. He was a man of the fundamentals. Some years ago, I've told the story a few times before to you, I think, but I got my really first serious instruction in golf, though I've been playing very poorly for many years. What my teacher emphasized were the fundamentals. Grip, posture, alignment. Those absolutely basic elements that make a decent swing possible. He told me, and of course I implicitly knew this from many years of experiencing it, that lots of bad and mediocre golfers kind of cobble together a swing. And they manage, even once in a while, to hit a decent shot, even though their fundamentals are off. But see, when they do this, it's just accidental. It's just a flash in the pan, rather than the result of a good, fundamentally sound, repeatable swing. Okay. For all the non-sports people, forgive the sports analogies, but they've always helped me to understand what's at stake in the readings we have for this weekend. Go back now to reading one from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses tells the people they are to take the law, these words of mine, the words he's taught them, and listen now. Bind them at their wrist as a sign. Let them be a pendant on their forehead. You see, today, ultra-Orthodox Jews will still wear the little box on their forehead. Well, it contains a passage from the Torah. Wearing it around their wrists, a constant sign, a reminder of God's word. What he's telling them is, drill these words into you. Have them before you all the time. Repeat them. Make them second nature to you. Just as that coach was trying to make the fundamentals of driving and dribbling and shooting second nature to us. Just as my golf coach is trying to make the fundamentals of posture and grip and alignment second nature. So Moses is telling them, don't forget the fundamentals. Now, what is the fundamental? What's the basic law? As always in the Bible, it is the worship of God alone. Listen, I set before you here this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing for obeying the commandments of the Lord. A curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord, but turn aside to follow other gods. Now, I want you to see, friends, this is not some kind of arbitrary power play going on here. This is basic spiritual physics. Just like my golf teacher is not being arbitrary and difficult when he lays out the fundamentals. look, like it or not, that's how you hit a golf ball. My eighth grade basketball coach was not being difficult and imposing and capricious when he said, here's the way to do a layup. He was saying, that's the way to do it. If you want to get the ball in the basket, that's the way to do it. This is going on here. Bad worship leads to the falling apart of the self and the falling apart of our relationships and communities. That means when you put something other than God at the center of your life, when you begin making money or sex or pleasure or power or honor your ultimate concern, you will fall apart. God's not being difficult here, not being arbitrary, not imposing his will. He's telling you the truth of things. That's why he's setting before us a blessing or a curse. Not like the hex of a witch or something here. It's just the truth of things. When you worship God, you say, God is the center of my life. Then you come into harmony and the communities around that worship fall into harmony. Idolatry is always the problem. Right worship is the solution. That's, if you want, the most fundamental of the fundamentals. Spiritual flourishing, spiritual success, a connection to the source of joy will follow from correct worship. Spiritual desolation and a severance from the source of joy will follow from bad worship. There it is. There it is. Drill that into your children. Wear that as a pendant on your forehead. Practice that day after day. You'll find joy. Now, with that in mind from Deuteronomy, let's turn to the gospel, which is the closing section of the Sermon on the Mount. We've been reading through it now for the past several weeks. We come to the conclusion. Like any good speaker or author, he wants to end this thing with a bang. I mean, he wants us to make sure we get it. And he speaks some pretty strong words. Listen. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. Okay, rock, fundamentals, the basics. Everyone that listens, okay, there's the first step. You got to listen. More important, acts on these will be like the man who builds his house on rock. What's the house? It's your soul. I mean, that's you. That's yourself. That's your life. We could all recite relevant passages from the Sermon on the Mount, and we've all heard it. It's worked its way into our psyches. But knowledge and recitation are not enough. One has got to place these commands. Now, again, go back over the sermon we've been studying, praying over the past several weeks. The Beatitudes, trust in God's providence, love, yes, even of enemies. I mean, all those great teachings. You got to place them in your body and your mind and your heart. You got to perform them over and again so that they become second nature to you. Without these fundamentals, the spiritual life simply will not flourish in you. Now, turn the thing around. Everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. House, again, that's you, that's me. It's the soul or the self. It's a very good metaphor now to play with. What's it built on? What's your soul? I mean yourself, your deepest I. What's it built on? What's your foundation? You know, you look at a golf swing, and you can see all the pros, they swing differently, but they've all got the fundamentals in place. They all do. Any swing analyst worth his salt can show you grip, posture, alignment, swinging on plane, coming into square contact with the ball. They've all got the fundamentals in place. Are you following the fundamentals? Am I following them? Are we grounded in rock or in sand? And let's say you're hitting the golf ball. You know, once in a while you manage to get a good shot. But any good coach will say, but your swing is just not fundamentally sound. And that means, now again, I apologize for the golf analogies, but when the pressures come, when you've got to make that shot, you've got to hit over water, you've got to hit over the sand trap, you've got to carry over trees, whatever it is, when the pressure comes, that swing will give way. That swing is going to fall apart. It's not based on rock. Same with the spiritual life, friends, exactly the same. If your soul is not built on rock, on fundamentals, then when the rains come, and they will come, I mean failure, I mean the death of a loved one, I mean sickness, I mean your life not going the way it's supposed to go, when that comes, that's when you will fall apart. Even if you're making your way fairly successfully through life. Now, go back to that eighth grade coach of mine, the man who hated flashy play, show-off, showboating play that was not grounded in fundamentals. And now listen to Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. In other words, you might display a superficial piety. You might know all the right religious buzzwords. The risk of being controversial here, you might even have claimed Jesus is your personal Savior. He's my Lord. So what? All of that is just flashy superficiality. Unless you are doing the will of your Father in heaven. Oh, I've called Jesus Lord. So what? So what? Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. See, that's the fundamentals. Someone could swing the golf club and they can look presentable, but someone with a discerning eye could say, no, but your fundamentals aren't there. That swing's going to fall right apart under pressure. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Do we not drive out demons in your name? Do we not do mighty deeds in your name? Again, these are people who have done lots of flashy things in the name of Jesus. Maybe they've walked according to his style, at least superficially, but they missed the substance of his life. What he's about, first and last, is love. It's walking the path of love, even when that path conduces toward crucifixion. That's the Sermon on the Mount. That's the Beatitudes. Are there any more devastating lines in the New Testament than these? Then I will declare to them solemnly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. That's all the flashy, superficial people that aren't following the will of the Father, doing the works of Christ. Friends, we got to build our lives on rock, not on sand. We got to do what Jesus teaches. And God bless you.